You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for Friday, the 23rd of April. Why the offense should be fine for a few days without Donovan Mitchell. And a look at Rudy Gobert's impact on his teammates. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Today's show is brought to you by Locker Room. This episode brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from iOS app and find one of the Locked On Rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. And if you did not hear, this is like breaking news. Coconut brownie chunk was available. I ordered two boxes already from Built Bar. That's actually just news because they won the Built Bar thing. Is it still available? It is still available. I like him seriously about to order more than two. It's so good. I'm about to order more than two boxes because I know I'm going to be bummed I didn't when they're only available for a limited time. And then I'll pretend like when my wife thinks I'm crazy, I'll be like, yeah, I just, I don't know what happened. Like, I must have double ordered somehow and made a mistake. But I get that way. My wife's biggest, we're on a tangent. This is very talk radio-esque. My wife's like biggest pet peeve with me is I have some weird scarcity issue, which is weird because I'm a spoiled brat who really has never dealt with scarcity. It's not like Jerry Sloan had a huge problem in the early stages of his career where he would eat too much because he'd never had excess at a meal in his life. So that when he went to like Evansville and he went to college and they had like a foods table, he would just eat and eat and eat and eat. He had no governor to be able to slow himself down. And the reason was because he'd never had excess food at a table. You just ate everything that was available. I am a spoiled brat. Well, hopefully not a brat, just seriously spoiled. And have not ever had that. But I have some weird scarcity issue that like what I love will be gone and I'll never get it again. And so if you come to our house, you'll find like these items that I love and there's just like millions of them around the house. And it's like my comfort that I'll never run out. I don't know what it was in life. Like did Dairy Queen like stop serving the chocolate ice cream for a day that like I could get my chocolate cover on? I have no idea what my childhood problem is there of where the scarcity went away. But that's my and my point is I'm sure it was something very, very significant in life, like that of Dairy Queen not actually having like chocolate soft serve once in my life, because that's how hard my life has been. All right, enough of that. So Donovan Mitchell is out and the Jazz have, and I don't know for how long. And the sequence the Jazz have here is interesting. We saw their offense be absolutely fine the other night against the 26th ranked defensive team in the league. And frankly, you know, probably a team that's probably not even 26th in the league defensively. The Jazz now play back-to-back games against Minnesota. Minnesota causes us a good deal of problems with the way that they stretch the floor and do all the things they do with Karl Anthony Towns, but they're not a good defensive unit. In fact, like for the season, using cleaning the glass as the reference point, Minnesota ranks 28th in the league offensively, and over the last 2 weeks, they're 29th at 122.5. Like, it's horrendous. And the only team worse is Houston, a little bit because we just torched them, but because everybody's torching Houston. Then we play Sacramento, who's 30th in the season for defense, but only because other teams have been worse recently. They are now 27th. So we're going to be fine without Donovan until we have to go play the Phoenix Suns. And then we'll struggle. And the reason is because Joe Ingles, the Jazz run the most pick and roll of anyone in the league. Like that, I think, is, you know, fairly well established. Like if you look at our percentage of our actions and how often we run stuff, our pick and roll game is what we do. And so first off, we have the best screen setter in the NBA. We're the number two team in the league in pick and roll ball handler. We're the number three team in the league in pick and roll roll man. Okay. Like that's because that's our game. We want to play pick and roll. And if you could please play pick and roll against us, that'd be great. Cause we're the number two team in the league cutting off the pick and roll man. And we're 13th in the league against the pick and roll ball handler. And the only reason we're only 13th is because we let you take those mid-range shots while we're the third best team in the league, taking away your spot up and taking away your other stuff. Like that's who we are. And Joe Ingles and Mike Conley are great at pick and roll. So if you look at Donovan is in the 73rd percentile of pick and roll ball handlers. Now, Joe Ingles and Mike Conley are actually both a little better. Joe Ingles is in the 83rd percentile pick and roll ball handlers. Joe Ingles, by the way, is in the 83rd percentile of pick and roll ball handlers. In the 94th percentile in transition, the 99th percentile in spot up, and the 98th in coming off the screen. I had a stat last year where Joe Ingles in the first 8 seconds of the shot clock was the number one shooter in the NBA. That's probably close to true again. I'll have to see if I can go find that and see whether or not that's easy for me to pull back up. But he's just incredible. Mike Conley is in the 79th percentile of pick and roll ball handlers. And this is just when they shoot, right? Just when those guys shoot. Rudy, as the roll man, is terrific. And obviously, as the pick setter, Rudy is in the 82nd percentile of all roll men in the league. That's what makes us great. We're not, when we don't have Donovan, we're okay against a bad defensive team because we're going to be able to get into our pick and roll, get into our game, make our plays. We don't need someone to break the system to be able to go get us our action. We're good enough as ball handlers, ball movers across the board, and we have enough shooting. Certainly, frankly, the fact that it's Mia Oney shooting instead of Donovan Mitchell in some of those possessions is a decline. There's no question. But that is, you know, we have to, when that's what we do, and against these teams that don't have great defensive schemes and maybe don't have a lot of give a damn, we're able to move the ball and get where we want to. When we suddenly play a Phoenix or somebody of that nature coming up here, or Toronto, who really, you know, we've got Phoenix and Toronto coming up, and those two teams, Phoenix defensively, and thank goodness Phoenix finally lost a basketball game. Phoenix is fifth in the league defensively, 13th over the last 2 weeks. Maybe some sign that they're slowing down fatigue-wise. Toronto is 13th best, but fifth best in the last 2 weeks. Those two teams cut off your lanes, cut off your passing, and now guys have got to go one-on-one and beat people. And this is where you start to really, really miss Donovan. And the bigger issue there for us is, you know, this is where the good news is we're different than the Atlanta Hawks were a year ago or whatever, 4 years ago, because they didn't have any breakdown one-on-one guys. We have Jordan, we have Donovan, a little bit of Mike. And if someone busts up our system, we can actually still swing the ball, move it around enough and be able to find ways to make enough plays that we can still get going. But that's when you need Donovan. So we weren't great offensively against Houston, but it's obviously also hard to tell. We were so dominant defensively. We actually have not been great offensively in a little while. Not going to get too concerned about it, but worth noting that, like, here's on the rank of our season, offensive performances. We've only had one of our top 10 offensive performances in our last 10 games. We had our number one against Orlando when we went nuts. And we've played 10 games since then. We've had one top 10. We've had one top 20. We've had one top 30. We've had one top 40. Top 39. Two top 39s. So we haven't been great offensively. Like our rank offensively since the explosion against Orlando, 40th against Dallas. Remember, we shot 27%. 58th against Phoenix, we shot 28%. 7th against Sacramento, bad defensive team. 12th against Portland, not a good defensive team. 7th against Sacramento, not a good defensive team. 32nd best offensive performance of the year against Washington, who's actually the second best defensive team in the league over the last 2 weeks. 47th against the Thunder. We just didn't need to be great. 44th against the Pacers, we were great defensively. 55th against the Lakers, their defense is really impressive. 29th against Lakers and 37th against the Rockets. Hard to tell a little bit there, and also that 55th against Lakers was without any of our guys. So I'm not too worried about it, but we're not rolling offensively. Let's just put it that way. Like, we have not been, I think if you kind of look since March, if you ran some numbers on since March 1, I would guess that our, which I'm going to run right now and find out for us, from March 1, I would guess we're not in the top five offensively anymore. Oh, we're fifth. Okay, fine. We're fine. Shut up, David. You coconut brownie chunk hoarder, you. Be quiet and stop fretting over things that don't matter. Since the March 1, we're 17-8. We're the top number two differential in the league. We're the number two defense. We're the number five offense. Just shut your pie hole, David. Stop fretting. Is anyone else feel like we're like worrying about stuff and we've what won 14 of 18? Is that right? Like, I think since we lost to Washington in, like, that not very good performance, which might not have been as bad as we thought, we lost to Dallas by 8 when we shot 27% from 3. We lost to Phoenix by 4 when we shot 25% from 3. We lost to the Wizards by 4 when we just couldn't slow them down. And we lost to the Lakers by 12 when we didn't play any of our players. Right? That's what's actually happened. Since the 18th of March, that's what's happened. I think we're like 14-4 and some jerk who does a podcast every day is like sitting here fretting over silly, stupid, something's wrong stuff. Right? Is anybody else with me? I mean, we all know that I'm ridiculous. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. I guess actually we're 15-5 for that day. What was the loss I didn't find? Oh, I had March 18th on my filter. No, we're 15-4 since March 19th. Since the 18th, we're 15-4. We have tied for the Clippers for the best differential in the league. We're the third best offense and the first best defense. Right. Shut up, David. I got a cool email. I love this. Because this is just part of who we are as a group. Jess Gaynor texted me and said, hey, I'm going to buy a Hyundai this weekend and wanted to head over to the dealership. And I text back where you're coming from. You can, by the way, you can text, email me this at dlock09@gmail.com. And you can skip a step by telling me where you're located and what location the Murdoch Hyundai you're going to go to. And then we'll skip a step. But it's nice to go back and forth with you. So we have this great relationship with Murdoch. And Hyundai's this remarkable brand that has kind of hit the price point of all sorts of bells and whistles, amazing safety, North American car of the year, and at a decent price. And if that's what you're looking for, you get all the bells and whistles and you're able to still have, you know, basically the luxury items at a reasonable price, and that's up your alley, then check out Murdoch Hyundai. Before you go, email me first at dlock09 at gmail.com. dlock with an E, 09 at gmail.com. And I'll set you up with a VIP meeting with one of their salespeople that has been assigned to Locked On. And you'll get a great treatment and hopefully get you a great car. It's up to you whether you like the car and whether you want to do it. Like, I'm not like, but you'll see bells and whistles in the price. And then if you like the way it looks, it's yours. You're rolling. That's all from Murdoch Hyundai. Today's show is also brought to you by Built Bar, and I said it already, I don't need to get into it more. The coconut brownie chunk is available. Just stop what you're doing and get the candy bar solved, as they call it. And it's so true. It is an absolute candy bar. Healthy in taste. The worlds have collided. It's 150 calories. It's 15 grams of protein. It's 7 grams of sugar. And I don't know how it's possible. I will be honest. I'm a cynic. I'm a little bit of a doubter. I'm actually questioning how this is possible, that this can be 4 grams of fat, 7 grams of sugar, 18 grams of carbs, and be 15 grams of protein and taste as good as the coconut brownie chunk. And the coconut brownie chunk won the Built Bar Challenge going away. It wasn't close. We all knew it was going to happen. We all got a sample of it. Once we'd had a sample of it, everyone was voting that way. It's incredible. Trust me. BuiltBar.com, LOCKED15 is your promo code. Coconut brownie chunk is available, but don't get all of them because then I'll worry about scarcity. The ultimate mock draft is out and it done in coordination with our friends at Odyssey, which means that we have Michael Irvin and Jason Lockenfour and Ross Tucker and Brian Baldinger also giving recaps along with all the local experts. It's got its own feed, Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. That's Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. Search it on all of your podcast provider and listen to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. We're through pick 28 in the mock draft today. So go check it out. And it's been a great success getting rave reviews. So please go check it. If you have a chance to review it as well, we'd greatly appreciate it because it's really, really quite good. I want to talk about Rudy Gobert's impact on our team, both on individual players as well as anything else. So we know about the defensive impact, but let's walk through it by player. It's pretty interesting. So we go to Bojan Bogdanović. And a year ago, Bojan Bogdanović played 92% of his minutes with Rudy Gobert. Last year, he played 1,911 minutes with Rudy and 172 without. So on a given night, he generally was like 31 minutes on, 3 minutes off. And last year, our defensive rating was a 107 with Rudy on and a 115 with him off. The other thing that's worth noting is that from just a general offensive standpoint for Bojan, who we've been so worried about his struggles, and he straightened this out a little bit, is that last year he shot 45% and 41% from the field when Rudy was on the floor. This year, he's off to 42% with Rudy and 37% from him from three. He's actually not been as good of a three-point shooter with Rudy on the floor. Defensively, with Bojan on the floor, we're a 104, with Rudy on the floor, we're a 104, and with Rudy off the floor, we're a 110. So in other words, like some of the things we've worried about Bojan defensively are often because he's now playing without Rudy behind him. And from an offensive standpoint, he has had a little less time with Rudy this year. Though, to his credit, he's kind of figured it out, and he's now shooting the three better in the minutes without Rudy than when Bojan's on the floor with Rudy, we're plus 312. When he's on the floor without Rudy this year, we're minus one. Let's look at Mike Conley for a minute. Mike Conley last year played about 67% of his minutes with Rudy. This year, Mike Conley has played 93% of his minutes with Rudy. Last year, when Mike Conley was on the floor with Rudy Gobert, he shot 43% from the floor and 43% from three. When Mike Conley was not on the floor with Rudy Gobert last year, he shot 36% from the field and 22% from three. His struggles last year were in the 33% of his minutes when he was not on the floor with Rudy Gobert. I know Rudy's a non-offensive player, can't be considered an MVP, can't be discussed as this. He's a zero offense, other than the fact he completely impacts everyone's offensive skills. This year, so let's go back to last year. Mike Conley last year, 43% from the field, 43% from three, with Rudy Gobert on the floor. This year, 45% from the field, 42% from three with Rudy Gobert on the floor. The whole transformation of Mike Conley is that he's playing more with Rudy Gobert. The entire narrative that me, along with others in the media, had last year that Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert couldn't play together was total bullcrap. The truth is that Mike Conley couldn't play without Rudy Gobert last year in our system with Tony Bradley or whatever else and get enough shots because they probably didn't give him any room. So the coaches switched things, and instead of Boyan getting to play all of his minutes with Rudy, Conley is. And funny, this year we're worried about Boyan struggling. Coincidence? Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe it all stems to who gets to play with Rudy. Crazy, but it's true. And if you look at the defensive numbers, when Rudy Gobert and Mike Conley are on the floor together, the defensive rating is a 99.5, which is insane. Last year it was a 106, so to give them credit, they've made a huge change. And so really, the question actually that we all should be asking is, Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert are a million times better defensively this year. Why? Offensively, they're better. The offense has gone from a 110 to a 116 when they're on the floor together. So yes, as a group, they're way better, and that's worth trying to figure out. And yes, the eye test is clear that Mike's been better, but Mike's been better with predominantly because he's on the floor with Rudy getting the best pick set, and they figured each other out, certainly, but they figured each other more defensively than offensively, and that's what's most interesting to me here. When Mike Conley, and to Mike Conley's credit, we've just been great defensively when he's on the floor no matter what. Donovan would be one that I would think would be not impacted a great deal by playing with Rudy. In other words, Donovan's not an elite pick and roll player yet. He's a one-on-one player. He's a great shooter. He's creating his own offense. He doesn't need Rudy the same way. And frankly, he and Rudy have actually, I think, struggled to figure out a connection with their passing. Until this year, it's gotten better, but you don't see Donovan give Rudy as many lobs as everyone else. The offense with Rudy on the floor, I'm checking this here for the first time. I did the other two. I knew the other two were coming exactly as they were. And we'll take Joe here in a second because I think he'll be interesting on this. Joe's probably a little bit of each, actually. I think Joe's able to play with those bench units and playoff people and play the pick and roll with Faves pretty well. But anyway, the offense with Donovan and Rudy is a 117, without him is a 114. So it's about the same. The big difference is the defense is 10 percentage points better when Donovan's on with Rudy than without him. For Donovan, he shoots 44% with Rudy and 40% from three, 44% from the field, and 37% from three. So just down a tiny bit, but nothing dramatic. And he plays about 55 to 60% of his minutes with Rudy. So as expected, not a major change. Let's check Joe Ingles for our final one here. I don't think there's anyone else that has a huge change. So Joe Ingles in the 2021 season, when he's on the floor with Rudy, he shoots 53% and 48% from three. And when he's off the floor, Rudy's off the floor, he shoots 51 and 52. So to Joe's credit, he shoots about the exact same, if not a little bit better, without Rudy. So he's the one who kind of can play with Faves, as we've all known, has that lineup and gets it going. Though, again, without Rudy, minus 23 with Rudy, plus 382. I mean, just insane. The advanced metrics, so offense and defense is where it's different. The defense is 12 points better when Ingles is on the floor with Joe. We're plus 19 when Joe Ingles and Rudy Gobert are on the floor together. Incredible. Or minus one when they're off. And the offense is 9 points better and the defense is 11 points better. That's incredible. This is consistent, I believe. I haven't checked this for Joe over the years. That Joe has actually been able to kind of play the same. Last year, the defense was about the same when Joe was on with Rudy or on with Tony Bradley or whomever else. His shooting was better last year with Rudy on the floor by 9 percentage points on his 2-point shooting, but his 3-point and 5 percentage on his 3-point shooting. So to Joe's credit, this is maybe where Faves has really helped him, or the style we've played this year has really helped him. He's made a nice step to play with Rudy and without. All right, Jordan Clarkson, let's check it. I don't think there's going to be a big find here, but it'd be interesting. So Jordan Clarkson shoots the exact same, maybe a touch better without Rudy on the floor, and we're plus six. He's the one guy who's plus when Rudy's off the floor, though we're plus 250 when he's on. So, you know, Jordan Clarkson is exactly what he should be. He's the bench player who comes in and doesn't need that kind of, though their pick and roll is actually pretty good together, style of play. And so It's kind of awesome. We're plus 15 when the two of them are on the floor together, and we're plus 2 when they're off. I think that's it. The only other one I would take a quick scan at would be Royce O'Neal and see if there's anything to his three-point shooting that has to do with shots with Rudy on or off. He shoots, that's interesting, he shoots 42% when Rudy's on the floor and 30%, 31% when Rudy's off the floor from three. He plays a lot of minutes without Rudy because of the fact that he is our best on-ball defender, and so to cover up some of our defensive issues. But so Royce plays about 1,100 minutes with Rudy and 700 minutes without. It's a huge percentage when you consider how much Rudy plays. And his three-point shooting is dramatically impacted. 41% three-point shooter when he's on the floor with Rudy, and a 31% three-point shooter when he's not on the floor with Rudy. Just gets more space. It was bigger last year. Last year, Royce shot 40% with Rudy on the floor and 24% with him off the floor. Fascinating. Yeah, I did expect that. Just didn't think it would be that dramatic. I hadn't looked at that. So anyway, I just, you know, kind of continuing this conversation of what, you know, Rudy does to this team and how incredible his impact is on a night-in, night-out basis. We'll look at points gained when we continue. Today's show is brought to you by my friends at Grip6.com. Love the Grip 6 belts. If you go Grip 6, you'll never go back. Grip 6. Plus, they've got the Fast Break wool ankle socks and the wallet. Oh, never mind. Wallet sold out. When you go to Grip6.com, right on the front page is the honeycomb belt, $49. That's my favorite belt they have out there. You can get multiple straps to go with it. I have the navy blue strap on it right now, but you can get any of the other straps and check it out. I think that's the coolest belt. That honeycomb belt is my favorite. When I want to get a little bit more formal, I've gone to the carbon fiber series. Those are a little bit more expensive. The carbon fiber belt that I have is a $90 belt. Not crazy. And then there's the silver glass belt, which I have not done yet, and it sold out when I went to go kind of get it the other day. I was like, oh! But, so jump on right now before they sell out with any of the other Grip6.com. And then I would tell you, the other one I kind of like is the is it the conservation series? Conservation's where you get the honeycomb belt, and then they also have some fun things with the salmon and the buffalo in the concert. They got great stuff. It's at Grip6.com. Promo code LOCKEDON gets you 15% off. They've also got some flag series, so if you're American flag, you want to be patriotic, you can get it. It'd be great, obviously, for 4th of July. They've also got Texas and California flags. So check it out at grip6.com. Today's show is also brought to you by thebigyellowbag.com, a topsoil supplier. Big Yellow Bag is the best out there. It's by Biograss. It's a Utah company. They've done such great stuff. You get a cubic yard of black garden soil, nutrient-rich, comes in the big yellow bag, and your garden soil needs to be supplemented every year, so you get it with this rich black garden soil delivered in the resealable big yellow bag, and unlike a load of dirt dumped in your driveway, the cubic yard of black garden soil makes the gardening easier and more enjoyable. Thanks to Biograss, your plants grow stronger, healthier, and you have the best yard around. So go to bigyellowbag.com, find out more, and you get 40 with the promo code Locked On. You get $40 off your cubic yard of big. So go to Big Yellow Bag right now and turn your yard into the best yard in your neighborhood. All right, it is time for Points Gained. Points Gained Friday is exclusive to Locked On. It is our offensive metric that we use to judge offensive players. It takes a look at an offensive player and how they use their possessions compared to the league average and the points they gain on a given night for their team. The offense this year is exploding. We usually have three guys that add three or more points and then about 10 guys that average more than 2 points. But that number is considerably higher this year. The number one offensive player in the league right now is Kevin Durant, again, at a really high plus 4.1. Steph Curry is breaking the game at plus 4.1. They're tied. Then Zion Williamson is plus 3.5, Joel Embiid plus 3.0, and Nikola Jokic at 3.0. Embiid's MVP candidate is pretty real, by the way. Like, he's played 17 fewer games and 700 fewer minutes. And so that's true, but he's great. Zach LaVine at plus 2.7, Giannis at 2.6, and Joe Ingles at 2.6. So Durant 1, Curry 2, Zion 3, Joel 4, Nikola 5, Zach 6, Giannis 7. Joe Ingles is the 8th most impactful, positively impactful offensive player in the NBA in his 8.6 scoring opportunities a game. He's adding 2.6 points more than the average player. It's incredible the value of his shooting. And Rudy Gobert is a plus 2.3. The Jazz are actually a great offensive team kind of for the two undervalued aspects in the league that we've talked about a tremendous amount in this program, which are the value to dunk and the high volume three-point shooting. They only use 20 scoring opportunities and get plus 5.9 out of those two guys. Be interesting to see the team that comes in decides that doesn't let Rudy roll and not let Joe shoot and see how we deal with it. Michael Porter Jr. is a plus 2.2. There's an argument to why Denver's going to be okay here. They're going to miss Jamal Murray, but I'll show you in a second that maybe not a ton. Joe Harris plus 2.2, Rashawn Holmes 2.2, Kawhi, value of dunkers, and actually his little flip shot. Kawhi Leonard 2.1, Kyrie Irving 2.0, Jared Allen, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander 2.0. Let's look at Denver for a second. How come Denver is still winning? Because Jokic is 3.0. Porter's 2.2. Murray's 0.8. That's a big loss. Jamichael Green, 0.5. Zeke Nnaji, 0.3. Millsap, 0.2. Aaron Gordon, minus 0.5 is a problem. Will Barton, minus 0.8. And PJ Dozier, minus 1. Like, if they can limit some of those negative possessions because Porter's so good, because Jokic is so good, at plus 5.2, they were plus 6. With their top three guys, and it becomes almost, you know, becomes really hard to catch that. But if they, you know, PJ Dozier having to play more while shooting 41%, 32% from three and being a minus one is a problem. And Will Barton using more possessions is a problem. But Michael Porter using those possessions is not a problem. He is legitimately like Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, like combo. It's incredible. Not as good as either of them, but for the Jazz, Joe plus 2.6, Rudy 2.3, Favors 0.7, Conley 0.5, huge change from last year, Royce 0.3, George 0.2, Boyan even, Donovan even, Jordan Clarkson minus 0.6. Okay, high volume on the bench, one minus. You want to have, if you can have no minuses, then you're rolling. Phoenix, 8 and 1.8, big change. That's where Chris Paul's impact. Mikal Bridges has developed nicely, 1.5. Devin Booker, 0.5. They are all positive until Jay Crowder's even. And then their negative players don't play. Kaminsky, Smith, Alexander, and Etuan Moore. Phoenix has the makeup of the perfect championship caliber offense for points gain system. Every player is positive. So if you get it out of the hands of Ayton, out of the hands of Booker, out of the hands of Chris Paul, and someone else uses the possession, it's at league average. It makes it very hard to catch up unless you're having an extremely outstanding day. The Clippers. Kawhi 2.1, Paul George 1.7, Zubac 1.5, Marcus Morris 0.9. This gets really hard to catch. Leonard 0.7, Batum 0.6. Those are good numbers. Those 0.6s, most guys aren't there. More people are negative than positive. Their only negative player is Rajon Rondo. The Clippers have the perfect matchup of a championship caliber offense. If you get the ball out of Kawhi Leonard's hands and it goes to Batum or Beverly or Serge Ibaka or even Reggie Jackson, they're all still positive. That's the killer, is when you have these guys that are really positive and then they're able to swing the ball and they get it to another guy who's even or at equal status, then it gets very hard to beat. Lakers are not as perfectly built. Caruso minus 0.3. Markieff Morris minus 0.3. Wesley Matthews minus 0.7. Dennis Schroeder minus 0.7. Talon Horton Tucker minus 0.8. Ben McLemore minus 0.8. Kyle Kuzma minus 0.9. Andre Drummond minus 2.2. Get the number one seed because I don't want to see the Clippers. Just a thought. Steph Curry is breaking the game. Last 10 games, he's 7.5. Durant in his 5 games is 6.2. Valanciunas has been great at 4.8. Paul George, great, 4.7. Davis Bertans is why Washington's winning at 4.3. Jaylen Brown, 4.0. Rudy, 3.8. Marc Gasol has not played much, but he's at 3.2. They're making a mistake there. Kawhi Leonard, 3.0. Kelly Olynyk's been great in Houston, 3.0. DeAndre Ayton, 2.8. Karl Anthony Towns, who we'll see Saturday, is a 2.7. He's been playing very well. Coldest players in the NBA over the last 10 games. Anthony Davis last night. Theo Maledon being overstretched in Oklahoma City. Devin Booker, -3. And they're still winning. Incredible. He's shooting 41% and 20% from three. Russell Westbrook, -2.9, and they're winning. That's incredible. Diallo in Detroit, -3. Kira Lewis getting some time in New Orleans, -3. James Johnson in New Orleans, -3. DJ Wilson playing a little bit, not good. John Wall, DeJounte Murray, Justin Holiday, Caleb Martin, Kyle Kuzma. Not a lot of interesting name there. From the Jazz standpoint, let's take a quick scan of their last 10 games and call it good. Rudy Gobert, 3.8. Joe Ingles, 2.1. Juwan Morgan, 0.8. Gets himself in the right spot. George Niang, 0.8. Ersan Ilyasova, 0.6. Boyan, 0.2. Mike Conley, -0.1. Faves, -0.2. Jordan Clarkson, -0.9. Royce O'Neal, -1.3. Donovan Mitchell, -1.8. Tired. Let's see how they come out of it. Jazz, Minnesota, 2 ball games Saturday, and we'll talk before the Monday game. And Sacramento on Wednesday before the big one Friday. We need the Suns to lose twice before we see them be 4 games back by the time we play them, to have that race be over by the time that game happens. Jazz and Minnesota right now. Tell your smart device to listen to the most recent episode of Locked On Today, and then go listen to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. Have a great day.